This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Round the Boards, updates from Dunedin City Community Boards on ORFM Dunedin's awesome morning show.
And in this edition, we catch up with Mosgiel Tyree Community Board, Rebecca Shepherd, joining us on the line. And Rebecca, we had earmarked for conversation a few days ago the role of community boards in community emergency resilience. Boy, oh boy, this couldn't be better timing, could it?
Good morning, Jeff. No, it's not. It's very, very good timing. And yeah, what a it was. It sort of blew into something quite big, quite quickly. Yeah.
Let's just first of all just touch base with how you are and how what your sense is of how people are doing on the Tyree right now after a particularly difficult 48 hours.
I think there's still people recovering, and it was a bit of a shock for some people just how quickly the water did come up. It wasn't the rivers didn't burst their banks, and that's, I suppose, the first thing to say. Well, the Tyree River is pushing there at the moment, but I think people have realised that it goes down quite quickly as well. I mean, there's lots of comments in the community about the drains and things not keeping up, but it very quickly did turn around, and by yesterday midday, a lot of the surface water had disappeared and they were opening up all the roads again.
I spent a lot of yesterday's edition of the morning show talking about road closures, and most of the ones we were talking about were in the Mosgiel Tyree area. It was, not a day for getting out and about, was it?
No, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't anyway. It was an awful day, but it was just surface flooding. And the only thing that I really noticed, and certainly through the night while I was sort of dealing with our comms, was, you know, people driving around. I mean, there's people that need to drive around. Obviously, the fire service was very busy, and there's people going and doing welfare checks on their friends and family, and the police driving around checking things. But there was a few people sort of, I suppose, sightseeing and driving reasonably fast through the water. It might not seem that deep of water, but it does push it up into people's gardens and potentially push it into houses that it might not have needed to go into.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth touching on that, isn't it? Because, I mean, while we're talking about it retrospectively now, we know there are going to be further examples of this kind of weather event. It's just, it seems to be part of the annual cycle now in one way or another, doesn't it? So
we learn
something every time one of these things goes through.
We do, yeah. I mean, this is obviously a flood-prone area, and people are pretty resilient to it. But I guess with weather changes that we are having, it may happen more often, and we just need to be more prepared and more resilient, yes.
What is your sense in terms of any ongoing impacts for households and businesses? Were there some that have got damage to deal with?
Yes, there was some houses. There was I was just reading about someone with some electrical changes with some water going through their roof, and there were a few houses that had water right through them, so they will be dealing with their insurance companies and things over the next few days, I imagine, and that will have longer term impacts for them. For the majority, for most of us, it's just normal kind of wet weather. It's funny because I was talking to the Outram people yesterday, and they're pretty used to the flooding over there, and the woman I was talking to, she said, "Well, this is a reasonably benign rain event. We're used to much worse over here." And I thought that was interesting how sort of laid back she was about it, because it seemed quite. I mean, it was very quick that it came up, and to me, it did seem quite alarming.
Mm.
But for people that are used to it and live next to rivers, it's kind of I mean, they're used to. They know what they're doing. Yeah, they know what to prepare, who to look after.
Yeah. Now, so Rebecca, over the course of that weather event, what role was the Mosgiel Tyree Community Board taking?
What were we doing, do you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So our role, we've got a couple of roles in it. We actually are responsible for the communication between the emergency centre and the community. So I was trying pretty hard to download all of the information that everybody was feeding through Facebook and through our contacts and people on the ground. I've got a couple of WhatsApp groups of people that are involved with the resilience groups. And so we were feeding back information to that centre so that they knew what roads were a bit risky and where there was water coming up. Any information that was coming from the community, I could feed back to that emergency centre, which was a civil defence emergency centre. And then the other way too, I could feed back the information from the emergency centre back to those people so that they could spread it out through their network. So it was a bit of a two-way street that I was kind of in the middle of. And then the next thing that the community board is responsible for, and it's something that as a new person on the community board I need to, it was a good exercise for me to go through to realise how it all works, is that when they decide to set up an emergency hub and an evacuation centre, we're responsible for opening up that room, that building. And so it was the Tairi Bowling Club, and we're responsible for opening it up along with the resilience group. So Robert, who runs the resilience group, and I went in there, had it all up and running when Red Cross turned up, and then they sort of decided how many beds to set up and how to be ready.
How much demand was there at the hub there?
In the end, there wasn't much, and it's funny, talking to the community patrol and talking to a few other community people, Mosgiel and Tairi people in general are very keen to stay in their houses. So where there was probably more of a need than what... So we actually only had one family, and another lady turned up very early on Monday morning, but one family was there all night. So there wasn't actually that much demand in the end, but when you look around, there probably were houses that people perhaps, you know, they were just sticking it out, and maybe they could have taken the opportunity to leave if, you know, earlier. I suppose one of the conversations I had with certainly over at Outram is you don't want to leave it too late to leave, because you may not actually be able to get out. And certainly if people have got any mobility issues, it's probably better if their family sort of gets them out earlier, rather than relies on wading through deep water to get to them later on.
Mm. You mentioned the resilience group, the Outram Community Resilience Group. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So the Mosgiel Tairi Resilience Group is the overall one that looks after the Mosgiel Tairi area. So it actually stretches outside of the area that's our community board area, and that looks after the emergency response resilience for the area, and that can be flooding, obviously, for this area is particularly at high risk, but also snow events, that wind event that we had in October, all those sort of things. It sort of looks after all of the possibilities and all of the people who might need to be involved with looking after people if civil defence decides that it's an actual evacuation situation, or that people can't get off the roads and things like that. And then we can set up a hub and have a welfare hub available for people to have a hot drink and be sheltered, be warm, and if necessary, Red Cross can come in and set up some bedding if people need to stay overnight. So those groups are really important for having that all lined up. And Outram's sort of a bit of an outlier, because Outram is part of that overall one, obviously. So that's listed under the Civil Defence Guide as part of the Tairi area. But Outram's got the risk, certainly in a flood event and as well in a snow event, of being isolated. So they really need to have their own set up for an emergency hub for people to go to if they are, you know, having to leave their houses. So we've gone to a bit of effort to reinstate that. Someone, like a group did do that a wee while ago, but it just kind of went by the wayside. People move away and you need these really motivated people to keep these groups going. So there's some new people there trying to reinstate it, and we've done yesterday it worked really well, what we've done so far. We've only had one meeting of it so far, and it worked really well. We've got good communication backwards and forwards to the people on the ground and Outram. It worked well, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and it does reinforce, doesn't it, that it's all very well, the kind of reactive response, of course, that comes when there is an emergency. You have to assess the situation as it is and deal with what's in front of you. But when it works well, it's because there's been a lot of work done in advance of anything happening.
Oh, then a phenomenal amount of work goes on. And the people, I mean, I'm sort of the person that can talk about it. I haven't, to be honest, been involved with the actual nuts and bolts of pulling it all together. There's really motivated, really knowledgeable people that have done it. And that having that all lined up beforehand, like anything, if you're prepared, you're a lot better set up to handle things. And when things go wrong, you've got sort of backup plans to deal with them. And then the other component of it that we're just trying to coordinate now is having a bit of a debrief afterwards and working out what went well, what communication channels were good, what we missed out on, and what would have been good and what we could have done better. And so we're going to have those meetings. I know that the emergency response group in you know, the town one that's the regional council and the civil defence and DCC, they'll be getting together, and I'm going to hopefully be able to attend that as well. But we're going to have one out here and make sure that everything that we did out here was as it should have been, and anything that we didn't feel went so well, it was even though it was a, you know, very difficult situation for all the people involved, it was a good opportunity for us to learn and for us to build on. Every time you have one of these events, you can build information up and find what went well and what didn't work and tweak things. Yeah, so we're going to be doing that in the next week.
And will that review include conversations with Emergency Management, Otago Fire Service, those agencies as well?
Hopefully we can. At the moment, we're planning just our local one. When I spoke to the DCC yesterday, they said that the community board isn't usually involved with those sort of higher level debrief meetings. But I've asked, and I will be going in again today and talking to them. I'm going to be in the council this afternoon for another meeting. I'm going to talk to the people involved and ask them whether we can be involved with that debrief, which is the overall one, because I think it is important that as a community board, we do know, we can even, I think there's a couple of things that we could feed back to them that might improve how the communication goes backwards and forwards to the community board. Yeah, we have a really big population in our community board. We've got, sort of 20,000 people. And I think it's really important that we are heard, and I really would like to be at that higher level council level debrief. Yeah.
Just finally, Rebecca, part of what the board was doing yesterday was posting on its social media and so forth. That still remains one of the ways that people can get more localised information, I take it. Any key messages that you just want to reinforce at this point?
Just being safe, looking after your own family and looking after your neighbours and people nearby and not doing anything unnecessary. So travelling around, going anywhere further than you need to for essential things. I think at any emergency situation, if you can keep yourself safe, then you actually free up the emergency services to be doing what they need to be doing for people that are in trouble. We don't need people driving around to look at things or going further afield than they need to. I think that's the key, the key sort of message for the community. The key message for us was I want to firm up, with civil defence and the council, how those communication channels go. So it'd be nice if it could be fed down in a really easy, quick. I mean, they did a really good job of sending out some communication pieces regularly throughout the event, and I just they were quite long, and I was turning them into bullet points, and I think it would be good if they came out more as bullet point type brief that we can pass on to the community. But AI is quite handy. I used AI a bit yesterday to just shorten those down very quickly and send them out onto the and on Sunday night send them out on our Facebook page. I think it was quite nice just having bullet points so people could quickly read what they need to do.
Rebecca Shepherd from Mosgiel Tyree Community Board. Great to catch up with you this morning. All the very best to you and your team, and indeed everybody out there on the Tyree. I hope today is a day where things can be a little bit more back to normal if there's stuff to be assessed and repaired and so forth. Hope that you get the conditions to be able to get on and do that. Really appreciate your time this morning, Rebecca. We look forward to catching up in a few weeks.
Thank you. All right. All the best to everybody.
It was
Thank
Round
you.
The Boards. Bye. Updates from Dunedin City Community Boards on ORFM, Dunedin's awesome morning show. For more information about Dunedin's 6 community boards and contact details, visit the Dunedin City Council website, dunedin.govt.nz, or phone 477 4000.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.